Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Sunday, the first day of June 2014. As you tune into this original, special Sunday transmission, we're here every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., and then back weekdays live, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central with the weekday transmission. Wow, a lot of Bilderberg coverage of the week with our crew coming up. We're going to be breaking down on this Sunday edition. We have four guests coming up. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts getting into the Ukraine situation, what's really happening with the economy, the gear up for an implosion. Larry Pratt, the founder of Gun Owners of America, he believes they're going to try to sign an executive order making you get biometric guns and banning all the others. I mean, this is huge. What's coming up on that front? We have our media analyst, John Rappaport, joining us on a host of issues. And Bilderberg and media control. And then finally, co-author of Tom Clancy novels with some incredible breaking intel on the mass shooting and more, Steve Pachinik. All that and more coming up on this Sunday worldwide transmission. This is a revolution of awakening, a revolution of liberty, a revolution of freedom. And we are affecting change. They didn't want people to know that Bilderberg existed. Just 10 years ago, the media would say it didn't exist. The New York Times in 2007 said I was insane it didn't exist. 2008. Now it's all over NBC, CBS, you name it. And it's because of sites like DrudgeReport.com. It's because of Infowars.com. It's because of my great crew. It's because of you, the listeners, our sponsors, all of us that love liberty, promoting each other, supporting each other, coming together for renaissance and human freedom and true liberalism in the form of Thomas Jefferson, not the fascism and corruption of the so-called Democrats and their Republican cohorts. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so honored to be here with you on this worldwide transmission, and I'm just excited because when I see more and more mainstream media trying to stay pertinent, being forced to admit Bilderberg and even saying, yeah, why are they meeting in secret? Are they violating the Logan Act, the Official Secrets Act? Should there be investigations? We've come so far once we identify the globalists. It's amazing what we can do. Once we show their special interests that are controlling things, crony capitalists, the opposite of free market, we can stop the globalists from scapegoating true libertarianism and true free market and true private property and family and whatever you're into. The mutual aggression truce, that I won't initiate aggression on you unless I'm defending myself, and you won't on me. And you'll let me live my life, and you can live your life, and I won't try to use government to run your life. You don't do it to me. That builds an amazing society. Doesn't mean it's not a moral society, because then what works becomes popular. It's not what gang you're in or what special interest you're in. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's what type of production you're involved in, what you've produced, what you've done, what you've made, what you stand for. People come see you because of what you have done and who you are, not off of what group you're part of. I mean, I don't care if you're black or white. If you play the guitar great and sing great, I want to come hear you and I admire you. I don't care if you're Asian or American Indian or Mexican. If I admire your art, I'll hang it in my house and then try to invite you over to dinner if I can. Because that's true humans admiring each other, and that builds a better and better society as people vote with their feet, vote with their opinions, vote with their dollars, vote with their applause, or vote with their disdain for what they like and what they don't like. That is the essence of freedom. We don't need the government to make us free. We change our lives and become more free. Doesn't matter what their phony laws say. They will move in our direction. And that's what's happening across the board, and we'll be talking about that with John Rappaport today as well. So four guests. I think I'm going to jam-pack this Sunday show with quick two-segment interviews. If everybody shows up today, and I think they will, Larry Pratt, Paul Craig Roberts, Steve Pachinik, John Rappaport, and good old, you know, the crazy Texan that loves freedom so much, he stutters and talks over his guests, yours truly, Alexander Emmerich Jones. All right, folks, that was the first five-minute segment. The main transmission's coming up. It's carried by all of our great affiliates across the country. Stay with us and tell your friends and family to tune in and be part of the human awakening, the restoration of liberty.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Well, folks, Monday through Friday, we're live 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central with a weekday transmission. And then we return as well Sunday. Every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, broadcasting worldwide. I am your host, Alex Jones. We have Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, father of Reaganomics, former head of the Treasury and Policy of Reagan, coming on to talk about the economy, the wars, Obama, what's happening with the dollar. We have the co-author of many of the books with Tom Clancy joining us as well, Dr. Steve Pachenik, to talk about the latest Snowden revelations and a lot more. He's also a psychiatrist, and we'll look at what happened with Elliot Rodger last weekend when he killed some of the folks reportedly out there in California. Half of the six he killed was with a knife, but you never hear that really in the media. Should we all be collectively guilty because we own knives that he used a butcher knife? It's just as stupid to say gun owners should be collectively responsible for the gun. But that's really how crazy it is. That's coming up as well. And we have our media analyst to get into Bilderberg 2014, which is closing down today with our reporters over in Copenhagen reporting all week. And tomorrow, the global elite being exposed and their agenda almost to a man to disarm the people, to consolidate power, and to have crony capitalism, the opposite of free market capitalism, which shuts down their competition. That's coming up as well with John Rappaport today. So four guests on this Sunday transmission. And joining us for this segment, the next, on the Second Amendment front and so much more, is the head of Gun Owners of America, the group that keeps the NRA honest, the only no-compromise Second Amendment organization in the country. That's a Ron Paul quote. Larry Pratt to cover the waterfront. First off, there's a Second Amendment angle on the VA. General Shinseki, Friday, resigned along with Jay Carney. The exodus from the Obama sinking ship accelerates as he tries to blame his underlings. The VA, folks, has been treating people like garbage for a long time, but it's gotten worse under Obama. People try to say, oh, don't politicize it. It is political. The Republicans are going to score points. So what? Let them. The fact is the troops are being treated like garbage. They're being denied care. They're being told they've had procedures done that haven't been. This is horrible. And I don't care if the Republicans make it political. This is a crime that's going on. So it's not okay just because people are making it political. They're trying to change the subject. And I wanted to get Larry Pratt's take on this. The mass shooting a week, 8 days ago, 9 days ago, and other gun grabbing going on. Larry Pratt, thanks for joining us.
Alex, thanks for having me. I really appreciate your show and appreciate being on it. You've got us started, I think, in the right direction for this discussion. The VA has become a really ugly scandal. A whistleblower in Phoenix has reported 1,700 vets that have not even been put on a waiting list in order to get treatment. I guess the thinking was that way nobody would realize just how bad the problem was if they didn't have a waiting list to look at. So in one case, the government is not interested in keeping lists of Americans. But in another case where there's not supposed to, they do. And by that, I'm saying that they are making lists of us when we get our backgrounds checked. And we know that they're doing it. They've done longitudinal studies, letting scholars at the background check data. And if you can do a longitudinal study over a period of time, that means they haven't destroyed the data after 24 hours. Surprise. And I believe that this administration would be quite capable if there were some kind of excuse like a Katrina or any sort of declaration of a state of siege, or who knows what this guy is capable of doing. They've already shown what they did after Katrina. They went to the gun stores. I think they got better technology now. And they collected the names of gun owners in and around New Orleans. And then they went door to door. So it's already happened in our country. And then just yesterday, the House sprang a surprise vote. Nominal Republican Peter King wants to shovel millions of more dollars to the National Criminal Instant Check System so that they can have more money for states to gather up more names of people who have not been adjudicated of committing a crime of violence or perhaps suspected of endangering themselves. No due process, just give us the names. And that's not a good sign. That's very concerning. Very concerning. So this is just hot off the press. These guys sprang this as a surprise vote, and a lot of Republicans voted wrong on it, and it may be the only quote-unquote gun vote this year, and they're going to look pretty bad.
Shifting gears into other issues, the Washington Times last week got an Army document by concerned people, and it openly said, and this has officially been confirmed, that they're training with tanks, armored vehicles, drones under an Obama directive 2012 to take on the American people, namely the Tea Party. Forbes also reported on that. So the billions of bullets, the Homeland Security saying the Tea Party's the threat. I mean, this is crazy. What is Obama thinking?
Well, he's certainly not thinking that Muslims are a threat. So he's turning to his political opponents, declaring that they're the enemy and ignoring the fact that Muslims from time to time have a tendency to go boom. And it is really shows how upside down, mixed up they are. But we shouldn't be surprised, because some time ago, Homeland Insecurity Chief Janet Napolitano fingered veterans as potential terrorists, people who believe in the Second Amendment, that are pro-life, that want to work for limited government. I guess that the idea of limited government really would terrorize a socialist. So maybe if we look at it from her point of view.
Yeah, to them it's terrorism. I mean, George Washington, freedom, they're scared of it.
I think that's exactly right. I know it sounds preposterous probably to people listening to this show, except for the few that might be monitoring for the government. But the fact of the matter is, I do think they tend to think that way. The enemy is freedom, and they really are doing what they can to extinguish it. This is a very dangerous administration, and they don't seem to have any concern at all about acting without any authority. They just, as the president one time said, if the Congress won't move, then I've got a pen and I've got a phone. And I guess, you know, the emperor is able to do that. Of course, he's probably confusing emperorship and presidency.
That's right. And in case a new listener is doubting me on this, it's Inside the Ring. Respected journalist Bill Gertz. Memo outlines Obama's plan to use the military against citizens. High-level Pentagon source sent him the document. He was able to confirm it's real, though restricted. And they have a link to the document in the article. And it's a multi-hundred-page report fully detailing the plan to suppress the American people. I think there should be congressional investigations about this right now.
Let's hope, and they might have the investigation, but what they need to do is put some heat on the court that would ultimately receive the criminal complaint, if they can have an investigation and then produce a criminal complaint, as they did with the contempt citation of Eric Holder. They turned that over to the D.C. federal court. That was over a year ago. Nothing has happened. Now, the House is not helpless. The House, if it had the determination, could simply tell the court, you know, in the next budget, we're just not going to be able to find the money for you all, at least not until you...
That's the way to do it. Just cut the money off.
So until they get on the stick, just tell them that their fat checks are not going to be able to be sent out.
Larry Pratt, we're going to have a jam-packed segment coming up. I'm going to try to give you the floor to break down the latest attacks on the Second Amendment and where they're coming from. Folks can sign up at gunowners.org for your free legislative alerts or become a member Folks, if you don't become a member of the Gun Owners of America, you don't care about the Second Amendment. We'll be right back with Larry Pratt. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com, where we defend the entire Bill of Rights.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
That's right, folks. We never start it, but we finish it. We will never surrender the Republic. Don't tread on me. Metallica bringing us in. Very patriotic song and lyrics. In fact, I could read the lyrics of that song, I think, just in the show right now. It says it all. No, we have an amazing guest coming up, and, of course, I think the most amazing right up front, Larry Pratt. And the reason I say that is I've studied politics. I've been in it 20 years, more than that. He's been in it 50 years promoting liberty, proto-Tea Party. If it wasn't for Gun Owners of America, and I don't usually gush with most our guests, it's just true, we wouldn't have a Second Amendment right now to any extent. We'd be like England or Australia. They're following the same blueprint. Gun Owners was also able to radicalize the NRA. Even Ted Nugent, who's a listener and calls into the show, you've heard him, has said on this show, even though he's a board member of the NRA, and I'm not knocking the NRA, I used to, that we were able to radicalize it. And it should be radicalized. Radical's not a bad word when you're facing radical anti-American behavior. As Barry Goldwater said, radicalism in defense of liberty is no vice. And sometimes silence isn't golden, it's yellow. And it's just an example of how they tell us, settle down, you know, don't accuse us of stuff that's hardcore, it sounds crazy. Well, if somebody's doing it, if Obama's shipping guns into Mexico to blame the Second Amendment and gets caught, it's sensational, say it. Anyways, enough of that. Larry, we only got 9 minutes in this segment. I want to get into the covert attacks on the Second Amendment, the overt. Obama saying he may act with executive orders to go after guns, biometric guns, even Senator Cornyn's warning of that, that's their plan. This latest mass shooting that was really a stabbing that they don't want to talk about, and other issues. Larry Pratt, you've got the floor.
Let's start with Operation Choke Point. It's been going on longer than we've known about it, but the name has finally emerged thanks to Whistleblower. And what they're doing is they're putting the squeeze on banks through the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, saying that if you deal with some 13 industries that are deemed dangerous, then you are going to either not be able to extend lines of credit or you're going to have to charge much higher fees. And wouldn't you know, gun stores are one of the 13 industries they're going after. That is exactly the pen and telephone approach that our dear leader has promised us. And this is companies are getting dropped by their banks because of this squeeze.
Now, it's what Hitler did for the first 7 years before he started arresting everybody.
Yeah, and it works pretty well. Now, the good news is that this is still somewhat America, and there's been a very effective response. One group that had made high-end rifles is now something like Macmillan Services, something of that sort, from Macmillan Rifles to Macmillan Services. And they're saying, well, you know, you can have a credit processing operation without being under the FDIC. And so merchants are going to them and getting decent rates, and they're not being clobbered by a bank that's being, in turn, stiffed by the FDIC. Now, the further good news, we've got somebody looking into this, and hopefully within a week or two, we're going to have a setup where we can offer what Macmillan is doing. So if you're a gun store and you're being hammered by the way the banks are being squeezed by the Obama administration, well, you'll be able to get that done just fine, because you don't need to be a banker to do credit card. And, you know, for credit cards that bounce, well, you factor that in as your cost of doing business, and we think we'd probably be able to lower, to offer a lower fee than is even currently being done before the banks were
hammered. That's right. The answer is, of these big mega banks that are Goldman Sachs and others that have been caught, J.P. Morgan Chase giving money to anti-gun groups and stuff, they want to play hardball, we'll just take our business completely away from them.
Absolutely. I'm excited by this, and I'm hoping that we really can pull this off. And it may be an independent company that's set up. It may be part of gun ownership.
We should use libertarian and conservative money to build our system to defend ourselves, and we should do it without them trying to control us with it.
Hear, hear.
Wow, that's incredible, Larry. Moving on to other covert ways they're attacking, and then this mass shooting.
Well, one of the things that we've found in this push for the smart gun, which the most recent iteration is put out by the Armatic company, they operate this with an RFID chip in the watch that you have to be wearing on your shooting hand for the gun to operate. Well, not only is it not reliable, it doesn't work every single time. In fact, I learned last night from a guy that knows a lot more about guns than I do that with every magazine that's in that gun, 10-round magazine, there's going to be one round that jams. But even of more concern, if they were able to fix the jamming problem, is that the watch and the gun both operate with an RFID chip. Well, guess what? That can be hacked.
Of course.
Oh, my.
And then they just want to ban all the guns that don't have it. I mean, this is a total...
Well, I was just reading today that they have a technology which is being installed, say, in a theater. You go into the theater, you got a cell phone. This technology, this RFID system, would detect the cell phone and keep it from ringing. Well, that's a benign use. That's, you know, nobody's going to object too much. But that same technology could shut your smart gun off, and then your gun isn't very smart at all.
Absolutely. This whole smart technology is about piggybacking, spying, and control. That's on record. Apple phones, they admit it now, when you go to concerts, just won't work automatically. I mean, that's them preemptively blocking you like a criminal. In the time we've got left, Larry, do you think Senator Cornyn's right that he's really planning to maybe do an executive order and try this?
I happen to agree with the senator on this one. I think this guy is he's out of control. The Speaker of the House is... I have a laugh line now in some of my talks. I say zoologists have uncovered a new phylum. It's called the Johannes Bainerus. it walks upright, but it has no spine.
Oh, my goodness. I think that is the very creature. We need to get rid of Boehner and get somebody good in there. Finally, what do you make of the killer in Santa Monica killing half of the six people with a knife?
And he did it in what amounts to a gun-free zone. The sheriff of that liberal county has only given a little over 50 concealed carry permits.
Wow.
So it's like nobody can protect themselves. And then he cased the joint. We understand from his screeds and his YouTubes and whatnot that he was thinking about one place, and then when he cased it, he found that there were too many cops. And so he went to another place at another time when he figured he'd have maximum opportunity. So this was a little spoiled kid in a very liberal home, an anti-Second Amendment home, broken home, too, but for that matter, and which is also typical of young criminals.
We get the blame. Larry, we're out of time. Promise you'll come back for a full 30 minutes soon.
I sure hope so. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. There goes the real champion of the Second Amendment. I tell you, none better. Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Gunowners.org. Check it out today or lose your Second Amendment.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Well, John Rappaport is an investigative journalist, best-selling author, and a frequent contributor to Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and our online syndicated columns. He also is the editor of NoMoreFakeNews.com, and we've got him on with us for two segments today. We got a bunch of guests jam-packed on this Sunday edition. We're here every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. And we, of course, return weekdays with the live weekday show, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Most Sundays, this broadcast is live as well. Sometimes you hear David Knight and our other reporters hosting the show. Right now, they're over in Europe, in Copenhagen, Denmark, covering the 60th anniversary of the Bilderberg Group. And I'm going to have them on tomorrow with a final take on the event that's been going on for 60 years, openly to establish world government. The dam really broke this year more than ever on Bilderberg, thanks to Infowars.com, WorldNetDaily.com, DrudgeReport.com, and all the rest of the real media. Most of it is libertarian slash what you'd call paleoconservative or constitutionalist, because we're diametrically opposed to Bilderberg, just instinctively, to being slaves to offshore corporate interest. And you see a Tea Party Ron Paul-style UKIP sweeping the EU Parliament elections, the British elections, the local elections in England, the national elections. Same thing starting to happen here. This is a real revolution. It's got the Republicans and Democrats trying to target it to kill it here domestically. Same thing in Europe. Now, can they co-opt it? They're going to try. But so far, they've been unable to do it. They tried to take over the Tea Party, demonize it as Republican. That didn't work. So I wanted to ask John Rappaport, who's a savvy media analyst joining us from Southern California, his take on Bilderberg 2014 and the mind control that world government didn't exist and these shadowy rooms didn't exist. We saw reporters beat up, the videos on Infowars.com. We saw the windows blacked out at the five-star Marriott Resort in Copenhagen. We saw giant fences put up, free speech zones, all for something that didn't exist. But suddenly, the dam is broken. Hundreds of publications, from the Wall Street Journal to the London Guardian to CNBC, are now forced to report on it. And most of them said, yeah, it looks like a corporate conspiracy. They've gone from denying it exists to actually being kind of against Bilderberg. We did see a few publications make fun of it. But Rappaport, what is happening?
Well, as you say, Alex, the dam has burst. The news has gotten out from InfoWars, and other media outlets are picking it up, and they're being forced to admit that it exists. And also, the whole structure of monolithic media control of the planet has shattered. And to me, that is one of the main agendas that these people behind closed doors are discussing as we speak over there. What are we going to do about that? We're no longer able to just send lies down the pipeline and have them published as fact in the controlling media, because there's too much media now. We can't keep a lid on everything. And how are we going to gain back that control? What can we do? I'm quite sure that those discussions are ongoing. And of course, one of the main suggestions will be to provoke a major crisis, an event that will need to be covered with one story, one set of facts, aka lies, that will try to bring back one control, one world control of the media, so that everybody's on the same page. Because they're losing the battle. They can't, you know, keep putting their fingers in the dam and stopping the water. With the major media even now reporting on the event, they're in serious trouble,
Well, here's an example. Nielsen reported last week that CNN in a year lost 44% of their viewers, MSNBC 24%, and that's from their already shrunk audience, their joke level. Ed Schultz just quit his radio show. There's no so-called liberal radio, because they're not liberals, they're fascists. I would consider you a liberal, myself a liberal. More guns, more freedom, more of our own money. I mean, I think the whole facade's falling. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely falling. No question about it. And not just in the United States, all over the world. So these guys are living in the past over there at Bilderberg. You know, they're still trying to behave as if they've got an iron grip on everything. And it's, you know, 1965, and nobody even knows they exist, and they're meeting every year, and they're trying to pretend that. But other voices are among them are saying, you know, we have to wake up here. This whole thing is being destroyed. Our whole control factor is being destroyed. And so I think that another one of their discussions that has to do with mind control is, how do we improve the technology of surveillance? I mean, it's awesome even now, but how do we keep track of everybody all the time, everywhere on the planet, whatever they do, wherever they go, their actions, their thoughts, their statements, their words, online, offline, everywhere? Because that's really, in their minds, the only solution they have.
That's right. And what they've got, all the big establishment government outfits saying, in net neutrality, in fairness, the repeal of the fairness doctrine, bring back restrictions on talk radio, bring back restrictions on all sorts of speech. They're telling college students you can't have a fiesta party. It's racist. You can't say the word girl. You can't say the word bossy. I mean, this is a Monty Python skit if it wasn't actually happening. It's so absurdist that I really do now think they're smoking their own propaganda dope.
Yeah, no question about it.
Hey, let me shift gears. We're going to go to break here in a minute and come back and get into some other topics that I know you want to get into. But Santa Monica, the so-called mass shooting, half the six people that were killed, you know, he's the seventh, so we don't count him, were killed by knives. But then Dr. Steve Pachenik's coming up later, you know, famous spy in his own right. He says it's a false flag. You live out there in Southern California. What's your gut tell you?
You know, I just finished reading for the second time this guy, Elliot Rogers' manifesto, that huge, whatever it is, 140-page document. And I got to say that there's something that rings exceedingly phony about this. Watching him talk on video, reading his words, this looks like some kind of a put-up prop job to me. He doesn't sound legit for several reasons. He's making himself out to be, boo-hoo, look at me, I can't get a girl, I have money, I have a BMW. But when you read his words and you listen to him talk, it's like he's faking the whole thing.
It's like it's coming off as an arrogant joke.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this isn't somebody who's really desperate. This is somebody who's faking being desperate, who's faking the whole message that he's trying to put forward here. And of course, in the wake of the shooting, we know the agenda, you know, more psychiatric care, invasive psychiatric care, take away everybody's guns, which would now have to include
white men are bad, more racial division. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Exactly. To me, this, there's something set up and phony about this whole deal. It's just...
Well, what I don't get is why in Aurora, Sandy Hook, and now this massive connections to Hunger Games. You know, the first time there was a connection, I said, come on, listeners, knock it off. The second time, where she lives in the town, you know, the author, it gets a little weird. Now his dad's the director. Yeah. I mean, this is getting weird.
His dad's a unit director on the Hunger Games, and he directed this one small sequence within Hunger Games that was a propaganda message about the new society and how we have to ritually sacrifice the children in order to remember that the treason of the rebellion was a horrible crime and will never stand for it again. And then you've got children killed at Sandy Hook, children killed in Santa Barbara.
And they have the exact same armored vehicles in the new movie, the second one, Catching Fire, that they are actually deploying on our streets. It's the same armored vehicle.
Yeah.
And then Marxism is the way to fix the problems when the globalists run that. I'm telling you, this is getting so weird. I can't figure it out. I don't know the truth. I'm trying to find it just like you are, folks. We'll be back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Final segment in this hour, we have got Dr. Steve Pachenik joining us and Dr. Paul Craig Roberts in the next hour, the second hour. You do not want to miss that key intel on multiple fronts, and we'll get Dr. Pachenik's take on the situation with the mass shooting last week. He told me in an email, clear false flag, and he used to run psych warfare operations for the Pentagon on record and co-wrote a bunch of Tom Clancy's books. I mean, it's really off the charts to have him saying that. Let's go back in this final segment for this hour with media analyst of NoMoreFakeNews.com, John Rappaport. John, during the break, you said you wanted to get back into some more on Bilderberg, then your take on the Snowden revelations the last week, and then this new document the Washington Times put out that the Pentagon leaked to them, that the Pentagon's concerned about, the open admission that Obama wants to use drones, tanks, troops against the Tea Party. I mean, this is just, I can't believe how all this stuff's coming out. John Rappaport, other thoughts on Bilderberg 60-year anniversary?
One of the things that they're doing over there is, in the wake of the Snowden revelations that the U.S. has been spying on other government leaders around the world, other governments, they want to smooth all this out among themselves. They want to sit down and say, look, we know you knew we were spying on you. You're spying on us. You know, let's not, you know, fake it here. We know what's going on. We've always known what's going on. And it's been okay until it hit the press. So let's, you know, smooth over our problems. Let's figure out how we're going to play it in the press. We can act insulted and so forth and protest and everything. But underneath it, the surveillance programs are going to expand. You know that. We know that. Let's make sure there's no hard feelings. Everybody's on the same page. That is preeminent because they don't want this kind of thing with Snowden to suddenly cause a serious blow up and personal conflicts among world leaders who are all aiming toward one world government. And as far as the Snowden revelations on the Brian Williams interview, you know, he says, I'm a spy. You know, I'm not a low-level analyst. He decides for some reason, he didn't want to say this before, but now he does. I was trained as a spy by the CIA, by NSA, by DIA. I worked under cover names abroad, overseas. I'm a spy. Well, the main takeaway from that is, and people have to really understand this, is that spies lie all the time. That's what they're trained to do. I mean, you can't become a spy unless you lie. That's the main test. Can you lie through your teeth 24 hours a day and with a straight face? So now this begins to throw into doubt something about Snowden. Regardless of how he appears, regardless of what he's saying, regardless of the fact that, yeah, he's exposed these documents, which certainly some of us knew about all along.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now he's the only avatar, the only symbol exposing any type of Big Brother when there was all these real whistleblowers that are getting put in jail or ignored that nobody's giving attention to that have brought out even bigger revelations. He's a way to control it. And that's what Pechenik said a year ago and earlier this year. And I kind of poo-pooed it. But I tell you, it's starting to really look bad.
Yeah, and also it's starting to look like Snowden was a way to let the population know that they're being spied on all the time, because that's the main point.
That's it, a trial balloon throwing it in our face and then doubling down saying it's traitorous to even oppose it.
Exactly. But you've got to let the population know that they're being spied on all the time if surveillance has any purpose at all, because that's really the purpose of it, is to keep people in check so that they won't think certain things, won't say certain things.
Yeah, they want you to know you're being listened to, so you self-censor instead of saying, so what? I've done nothing wrong. I'm going to expose you. Quit listening to me, criminal.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, so, you know, that's his function in the larger scheme of things, is to be the one who lets everybody know that they're being spied on. I mean, what else is it? That's what it is.
But I know I'm a moral, real guy. I know you're real. I want freedom. I'm a paleo, conservative, libertarian, constitutionalist. And so I know that when I expose the spying, people would say, oh, you're doing that to scare us. You work for them. But even if I don't work for them, I guess if the public are cowards, I guess I do. I guess if I expose this evil's going on, I guess I am doing the bad guy's work if I've misjudged the public. And they're really cowards. It'll roll over now because I'm telling them what's going on. I mean, do you see what I'm saying intellectually?
I do. Yes, I do. You know, on balance, though, people can detect when you're being real. You know, you're not being a spy. You're being real and you're exposing the truth. And that's what communicates to people. Whereas in the case of some of these so-called defectors, you say, yeah, well, their real mission is to let the public know that they're being spied on. I mean, that's the whole purpose.
Sure, you notice the Russians have been trying to get rid of him forever.
Yeah.
And then nobody will take him. I mean, they want him out.
Sure.
Because it also becomes this anti-Russia thing. Remember how they didn't want to let him fly in, but he did?
Yeah.
I tell you, I don't want to demonize him. He may be a good guy. He may be getting handled and manipulated as well. Who knows?
I think that was the whole objective from the beginning, and that's what I wrote about originally when the revelations came out, that he was being manipulated from the beginning.
I mean, no, we carried your articles, and Kurt Nemo agreed with him and did his own digging, and I kind of... I've just been accused so much myself that I kind of have this defense mechanism that, oh, no, he's not a triple agent or something. But I tell you, we live in a cloak and dagger world, John, and the public just better start thinking about it. Shifting gears into one final topic with you in the time we have, I'm sure you saw last Friday the article that Drudge Report picked up that was on the WashingtonTimes.com. It's also on Infowars.com. We then wrote about it. This new document that got leaked to them, 3025.18, Department of Defense directive, where it says we're going to use drones, tanks, armor against the general public. Civil unrest is coming. And then if you expand into other documents, it's Tea Party. This is the total proof of what we've been saying. The military is being formed into an army to go after the general public. What is your take on this? Here's the headline. Bill Gertz, directive outlines Obama's plan to use the military against citizens.
This has been a plan for a long time. But it's certainly escalated since 9/11. And this is just a continuation of that. This is saying, you people, all you people of the U.S. population know that nobody can be trusted, that there are people out there who want to do us harm. And so we're going to have to clamp down on everybody in order to preserve your freedom, of which there will be none when we, you know, militarize the entire country. So this is... You know, leaking one drip and drop at a time, and then we give, boom, this latest revelation, which is bigger. It's, again, to let people know this is what we're doing. This is, and then people say, yeah, wow, that's, I don't know about that. And then they go back to what they were doing, and they become, you know, mind control to accept this. Okay, so this is going to be the state of affairs. It's not just going to be the cops. It's going to be the entire military now that's going to lock down the country because we're always under threat. The war on terror never stops. And I guess I'll just have to accommodate myself to that. So this is more training for the American people, so to speak.
Undoubtedly. And then it's not pointed at Al-Qaeda, which they now admit our government runs. It's pointed directly at us. Why do you think they're going after the real Tea Party so much?
Oh, well, to me, that's obvious because it was and is a burgeoning movement of people who, when you take away all the insane propaganda, you know, against it, are people who are constitutionalists, who look at the meaning of the original documents and say, okay, so this was all about limiting the power of government. Wow. Individual freedom, limiting the power of government. That's what government should be. That's what we want. That's what these people are saying. That's what they've really been saying all along at the core of the Tea Party and these constitutional movements. And that's a direct threat against the state, against the government of the United States, which is all about expanding power.
Exactly. So, it's diametrically opposed to the collectivist Borg model.
Exactly. Totally opposed. So it's like we got to clamp down on these people. We've got to associate them with terrorists, with threats, with crazy people.
You know what, John? We're out of time, but I got this one little five-minute segment coming up that some stations don't carry, but folks at PrisonPlanet.tv see. We're going to break. Come back and do five more minutes with us to finish this because I want to talk about solutions. You say it better than anybody, how to break out of the trance, how to wake folks up. I want to talk about how to break the trance coming up. Second hour, John Rappaport, one more segment. Then we've got Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, the father of Reaganomics, on the economy, on world politics, on Bilderberg, and so much more. And then Dr. Steve Pachenik, spy master, co-author Tom Clancy. It's all coming up. Tell your friends and family to tune in. There's no other talk radio like it.
So we have Ian right there.
What's his name?
Yeah.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
And folks, it is Sunday, June 1st, 2014. And I am just sitting here thinking about all this. And it just hit me. We really are broadcasting from FEMA Region 6. We really are in a 10-part global government with 10 subregions per region. It really is public. They really are putting cancer viruses and vaccines and brain-damaging hydrofluorosilicic acid in the water. I really own their books where they admit they're doing it on my bookshelf. It's a Twilight Zone episode. But in a way, it's exciting. It's real. It's animating. Let me tell you, I'm not worried about my hair sticking up in public anymore. I'm not worried about what people think about me. I care about this species. Not because I'm a hero. Just because I'm not a piece of crap. I just want to have a better world. I like nice people, not scum. But nice people have been blinded. We've been brought up incrementally with the poison being titrated, built up, till we have an incredible tolerance to it. And they've used our own adaptability against us to put up with the abuse. And in the last 4 minutes we've got in this short segment with John Rappaport, John, you talk about breaking the trance. Because I don't want to just wake people up in a sub-trance where they go, okay, it's happening, and feel hopeless. We can change the world and make it better if we take the next step. How do we do that? How do we break out of the trance?
You know, Alex, what I've always said is that people have to go back to the root. What is the root? Freedom. And then they have to understand what that means for them fully. You know, because when people do understand that, they become motivated to take action. They don't just sit there and stare out the window. But the problem is a lot of people get kind of a half idea of what their own particular freedom means. They don't really learn about it. They don't contemplate it. Nobody teaches it to them. They have to do it themselves. Because everything that we're saying here comes back to that. They're trying to destroy freedom. That's their goal. Control means no freedom. You're a slave. Okay, so what is your freedom? What does that really mean? You know, it's a word. It means I can, you know, I could shop here or I can go there or I can take a vacation. That has nothing to do with anything. The deeper an individual gets to understand the root of his own freedom, he not only understands how they are trying to take it away, but what power lies in that freedom that he has, the power to act, the power to do the right thing, the power not to be a schmuck.
The power to have your own original thoughts and not take up the false freedom of exercising the fake freedoms they try to sell us to carry out. Like, oh, you're free if you do this or that. Well, yeah, if I want to, but it needs to originate from my spirit, from my core, not from their system.
You bet. You bet. And that's why they're going after constitutionalists, because constitutionalists begin to understand that, hey, my freedom really has nothing to do with the government at all, you know, or the media or any official, anybody. It has to do with me. My freedom is prior to any law, any rule, any regulation.
They want you to go to them to have them certify your freedom when the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence are beautiful, because they say, no, your freedom already existed. We're just pointing some of it out here. We've got to say, I'm free. I don't care what the hell you say.
Exactly. That's how it all starts. People have to separate that. They have to say, no, my freedom has nothing to do with anybody giving something to me. I mean, is that ridiculous? Does somebody give you, you know, your hand? No, it's yours. Somebody give you your freedom? Absolutely not.
John, it's too powerful. I want to get you on for a full hour this week. Guys, let's set up John Rappaport for the weekday show right now. Let's do a full hour on true freedom. I want you to write some notes up from that big brain of yours. Really a great mind, and to come on and share it with us this week. In fact, I may even let him host a few hours, so I'm not interrupting. John Rappaport, you're awesome. You're beautiful, man.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
You know, we've been running that liner for about 18 years on air, and folks used to think it was a joke, and it is kind of tongue-in-cheek. But now we really are under this occupied government. the bureaucracy, the corporate interest, they just do whatever they want. And it was in the Washington Times last week. I just talked about it with Gunners of America head Larry Pratt. That, oh, the Pentagon is training to crush the Tea Party and gun owners and to use drones against them, and that is NORTHCOM's main mission. I mean, it's just, it's crazy that, you know, I'd talk about that 5 years ago with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. He'd bring it up, and we were like, oh, that's those nuts. And then now it's just all out in the open. We're moving into authoritarianism. The whole world is, in my view. And for two segments, because we've got four guests today on this Sunday edition, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, the father of Reaganomics, multi-time best-selling author, listed by many publications, one of the top 10 living economists. So he's kind of a big deal, sits on a lot of the boards, some of the biggest think tanks. He has been saying we're turning into a total authoritarian system and that we never really left the recession, and those numbers are now coming in proving that. I want to cover the waterfront with him about geopolitical things that are happening, Obama's West Point speech, really, the state of the republic. We're going to talk about that in two short segments with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. I'll also give you his website in a moment, so be ready for that. We, of course, syndicate his column at Infowars.com as well on the internet. But there's a lot of stuff to get to today here. Where do you want to begin, Dr. Roberts? You're also the editor of the Wall Street Journal, I should throw in for good measure. I mean, I threw out kind of a cornucopia of issues. What do you want to tackle first, or do you want to cover something else?
It's your show, Alex, so I'll accommodate you and what you think your audience is into.
What do you want to dive into first and then I threw out?
Well, I thought that Obama's West Point speech was very revealing, and particularly some of the reaction to it. So maybe that sort of is in the news and sets the stage for a lot of the else that you mentioned.
Let's get into it.
Well, you notice that Obama said that he believed in American exceptionalism with every fiber of his body, or something to that extent. Now, what he's saying is that he believes that Americans are ubermensch and that they are superior to other people in other countries, and that this superiority means that we have the right to prevail over others and that we will continue to intervene in the affairs of the rest of the world, and that the military is the prime way with which we intervene. So we see here a policy of no diplomacy, just coercion, force. The only diplomacy the United States has is you do what we say or we'll bomb you into the Stone Age. Remember that? And he's saying that just because we're coming out of Afghanistan, it doesn't mean that we are not going to continue to intervene wherever we think that we want to. So this, in a way, is an indication that there's no backing off on the strategic threat that the Obama regime has brought to Russia and the Ukraine, that there's no backing off on the Obama regime's resurrection of the Cold War in place of the Soviet threat. We now have the Russian threat, and we are building up forces in the Baltics and in Eastern Europe, and or against a non-existent Russian threat. So just like, in my opinion, and I believe yours, that the war on terror was a hoax that served the military security complex, we're now going to have a Cold War hoax as a new way.
Ooh, that's a great way to coin it. It's a Cold War hoax, and I do totally agree with you. And, you know, it's one thing to have manifest destiny when you're fighting a bunch of Native Americans, and they're actually fighting back against you. You could say there was a war. I'm not endorsing it. But to start a new Lebensraum or living space thing, you know, against Russia and people, it's just madness, especially when the country itself is sinking into the mud.
That's right. And look, it's revoking Reagan's greatest accomplishment. Now, Reagan ended the Cold War. You know, the Reagan-Gorbachev agreements ended the Cold War.
And by the way, you don't toot your horn, but you were a big part of that.
I had a role in it.
Yes.
And the so we now have the United States government repudiating its most popular president in a long, long time, and his greatest accomplishment, and a great accomplishment for humanity, because ending the Cold War greatly reduced the threat of nuclear annihilation of everybody. And so now we're going to start it back up, which means that the whole notion of something going wrong and the button getting pushed and nuclear weapons going off, and as all the scientists have made clear,
and it's going to kill reforms in Russia.
It's going to kill the whole world if something goes wrong. You know, the scientists have made it clear that if 1% of the weapons in the American and Russian arsenal were used, there'd be a nuclear winter. Billions of people would die of starvation. The agriculture would be wiped out for 10 years. The catastrophe, the potential catastrophe of starting up another military competition with another nuclear power, this is reckless beyond anybody's imagination. And it's all being done so they can continue to steal money from the taxpayers, give it to the military security complex to prevent us, to protect us against a hoax threat. And then the money cycles back to the politicians and campaign donations. So this shows a government that's just corrupt beyond any previous measure of corruption, and that they would put this type of risk on human life. I mean, extinction is possible if these weapons go off. So I think that tells you just how bad the situation is, how low the leadership has sunk, and there's hardly really a word about it. The Washington Post jumped all over Obama for not being aggressive enough, for not sending troops into Syria, for not sending NATO into the Ukraine. We have to protect all these people, blah, blah. It's really just mind-boggling. I sometimes think that the whole country has simply lost its head. And
well, what it is a bunch of different, as you said, special interests that would literally, you know, kill their grandma for a stick of bubble gum, who just are disconnected from reality. They're not statesmen. They've destroyed our soft power. Obama says you built a business, you didn't build it. 2 + 2 = 5, they teach the kids in school. This is a general insanity in the ruling class, in my view. And I don't know where it goes, Dr. Roberts.
Well, I think it goes to collapse. It goes to collapse, and that's probably the best hope the country has, because when it collapses, the elites are all discredited, and it gives us a chance to do something else if we're ready and aware and can get partially out of the matrix so that we can think.
Wow, it's just incredible with all your experience and all the things you've been a part of hearing you say that, but it's right there in our face. I want to talk about the technicals on the economy, but also first Putin being boxed in. We've only got a little bit of time now, but can you start getting into why I saw in your column at paulcraigroberts.org that you were getting into the fact that he's boxed in?
Yes, you see, Washington has no intention of letting the situation in the Ukraine be reconciled or be resolved. They want to keep this conflict going because they've got Putin in a box. If he steps in to protect the Russian-speaking elements in Ukraine that are under attack, he will then confirm the demonization.
When we come back, let's break down where you think that crisis is going. And the economy. What's the real state of the economy? Not just all these phony numbers. Straight ahead, I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, he was number two at the Department of Treasury with Ronald Reagan, worked on the deal to get the Soviets to basically try to reform. And Russia got a lot better in many ways. I've talked to a lot of Russians, seen the numbers. And now all this Western pressure is making them become authoritarian again, which is great for the special interest here. But Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is our guest, syndicated columnist, political analyst, economist. And I want to get into the economies, why he's really here today. But this Russia thing is so important. So start over because you got cut off by the break. Putin's in a box. You were saying part one is that if he defends the Russians that are 75% of the East or so, that are being ethnically cleansed, attacked with helicopters, being taken over, massacred, you know, then he's invading Ukraine. That's always been part of Russia in that area. But then if he doesn't do that, how's he boxed in?
Well, then he's undermined with the nationalists in Russia. He's shown that he's weak. He's not standing up for Russians. He's intimidated by the Americans. So he'll lose his hard support within Russia. And what Washington will do, they will turn loose on him the hundreds of NGOs within Russia that Washington finances. And they will ally with the nationalists, the Russian nationalists, and they'll start making protests against Putin, and he will lose support within Russia itself. So either way, he's weakened. The first part of the box, he's weakened with the Europeans that he hopes he'll be able to move away in part from the Americans because of their energy dependence on Russia and their trade with Russia. But if he doesn't fall into that part of the trap, the other part is he becomes a guy who failed to stand up for Russia, who gave in to the Americans, who was scared, and the protests within Russia will undermine him. So he's really in a difficult situation.
Exactly. He gets more powerful if he makes the wrong decision and engages and threatens World War III with the ultranationalists who are ready for a war. But, I mean, can't they be sophisticated enough? The Russians aren't stupid to understand the trap they're being put into. Isn't there some third way for them to not give in to the George Soros operation that he bragged last week he's behind?
I think the NGOs are too numerous and too well entrenched. You know, Russia didn't do anything about them for 20 years. And they're all through Russia. And a lot of the young professionals are really won over by American propaganda. So I think he's in a difficult position. I think what he should have done early was simply to step in, take back the Russian territories that were always part of Russia, and then deal with the remainder based on what happens. But now he's fallen into this trap that the Americans sprung on him. Whatever he does, he's going to lose one way or the other.
But, Doc, when you say Americans, I'm an American, you're an American. I mean, I understand it is America technically doing this, and NATO. But, I mean, it's special corporate interest. Isn't there a way to differentiate so the public understands that it's criminal groups doing this?
Well, I always say Washington.
Yeah.
Because Washington is a creature of the private interest groups, you know, Wall Street, the military security complex, you know, agribusiness, energy, mining, timber. So I always say Washington. If I say American, it's just a mistake, really. I shouldn't.
No, I'm not even criticizing you for that because it's true. I feel bad being drug along by the hair with this, as you do, and seeing America that hadn't been perfect. But, you know, I mean, back in the 50s and stuff, I mean, we were better than most other countries. We were exceptional in many ways, from my view. Now we're exceptionally evil.
I'm afraid so. I'm afraid that's the case. And, of course, though, we may be faced with substantial economic problems here, which may deter Washington from being able to carry out its anti-Russian strategy, because the first quarter came in with the revisions negative, as we all knew it was. They tried to hide it with the initial release. And most likely the second quarter will be. Now, they're claiming, oh, if second quarter is going to be fine, the first quarter was just due to the weather. But it's hard to see any growth in real consumer income, any growth in retail sales, real retail sales, any growth in consumer credit, except for student loans. And so you don't see any kind of activity boosting the economy. So I don't think there's any basis for the economy to do anything but sink. If it sinks in the second quarter, then it has the specter of recession, because two negative quarters means recession, and I don't think they'll be able to spin it. And I don't know what policy they can use to combat it. If they go back to more QE, to more quantitative easing, more money printing, this could put pressure on the dollar, especially with the announcement by China and Russia that they're going to be leaving the dollar system. Not all at once, but they're going to be leaving it and settle their trade with other countries in their own currencies. So more QE could cause holders of dollars to say, oh, no, here they are again printing more money. The goods and services aren't increasing. That means the dollars we're holding are going down. Let's get out of them. So the United States could face a currency crisis on top of the sinking economy. Now, that would simply devastate its power and its ability to be an international bully, and therefore Putin could escape the trap.
And now they're trying to shift from doing gas deals in Europe to that big gas deal with the Chinese. I know that's got the neocons upset. And again, we got Obama and the neocons. For those that don't know, Trotsky got run out by Stalin. He ran down to Mexico. But when he got killed, all his followers ran up here and set up the neocon, neoconservative movement. These are literally the children of the Trotsky communist. And they've always been anti-Russian after they got kicked out. And I think you're a bigger expert on this than I am, Doctor, but isn't that part of the – Russia's not doing anything to anybody. They're not expanding. They're just trying to hold on, and the establishment's trying to start a war with them. I mean, is it just because the Trotskyite neocons hate Russians?
Well, they do hate Russians, just like the Poles, like Brzezinski hates them. There's no doubt you're right that the neocons today are the children of people – who were at one point in their life Trotskyists. And so you do have this sort of, but it's more than that. It's also the doctrines. It's the Brzezinski doctrine, the Wolfowitz doctrine. And those doctrines are that the United States, in order to remain the sole superpower, has to prevent the rise of Russia.
Pax Americana.
Well, it's Empire Americana. And so they must prevent the rise of Russia. And so whatever you can do to screw up Russia, do it. Whatever.
But it's a global society that screws up Europe and then screws us up. Also, the neocons can play God. And then you got Brzezinski running Obama. It's two peas in a pod. How does your gut tell you it ends on that front and the economy? Because, look, I'm in the supposed richest city in the country now, Boomtown. And most people I know are really having the most trouble of their lives. So I know we're in a depression in many areas. And then they're saying, oh, we're a recession despite all the QE unlimited.
Yeah, I think the people in Washington have overreached. China and Russia together is an impossible combination to prevail over. So the notion that Obama expressed last Wednesday, I think it was, at West Point, that we are always going to prevail, we are the exceptional people, and that the military is our way of prevailing, this is unrealistic.
It's delusional. Dr. Roberts, thank you for spending some of your Sunday with us. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be back, folks. I'm Alex Jones. Check out his site, paulcraigroberts.org.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Thank you for joining us on this original June 1st, 2014 Sunday broadcast. We're now into the two final segments, and we've saved some of the most informative, thought-provoking information to the last. And that is Dr. Steve Pachinik. I won't go over his whole bio in the interest of time, but he co-authored a lot of books with Tom Clancy. They've got a posthumously published book that he worked on with Clancy that is coming out as we speak. We'll get Dr. Pachinik to mention that at the end because it's interesting and it ties into what's happening currently. That's why people like Tom Clancy and Pachinik's books is because they accurately predict so much of what then unfolds. But the reason I wanted to get him on is that he said back last year, but then again in February on the nightly news here at Infowars.com, that he thinks Snowden is a setup. All I know is they don't want it known that the NSA is spying on everybody. They don't want it known that this is happening and going on. But if it's already going to come out, could he then become the authority, an avatar, as Pachinik called it, and be a limited hangout, basically? to then control the information? Or could he work for big corporations like Google and Microsoft that are doing more spying than the NSA is doing? And that's admitted. I'm not saying I agree with Pechenik, but he did run psychological operations for the State Department, and he is a famous psych warfare guy in his own right. He knows General Alexander. I know he knows Clapper and people. So we're going to find out if it's his opinion he's saying that he thinks this is an elaborate operation with Snowden, or whether he has actual proof of that. But first, I wanted to play a brief clip of Brian Williams on NBC. The reason we're having Pechenik back on, last week, he came out and said, oh, I was trained as a spy. I worked for the CIA and NSA. That's what Pechenik had said in multiple interviews, was that, you know, to quote Pechenik, he's more than just a technician, Alex. Well, now he's saying that himself. So here's Brian Williams with Snowden.
I was trained as a spy in sort of the traditional sense of the word, in that I lived and worked undercover overseas, pretending to work in a job that I'm not, and even being assigned a name that was not mine. But I am a technical specialist. I am a technical expert.
All right, that's enough. The interview got a lot of attention. I'm not going to replay the clips of Pechenik predicting that he would come out and say that. We aired it last week on the show, but now we've got Pechenik on this Sunday. Doc, we've only got this segment and the next, so let's condense it down. Thanks for coming on the Sunday show on short notice. Break down why you said that and why it's important, and what you say about his new comments.
I want to thank you very much, and I want to thank your audience. The reason I said it is because I know the modus operandi of the CIA. The very important thing that you have to understand about Snowden is that he is a manufactured a product of the CIA or the military-industrial complex. Why do I say that? Number one, he follows the modus operandi of the predecessor, Daniel Ellsberg. Both were so-called in the military. Snowden failed the so-called special forces. That's what he claimed. He was never qualified. Daniel Ellsberg was in military intelligence and worked at the State Department at the cover, but was really in the CIA working for General Lansdale. That was 40 years ago. Both came out in terms of a company that was not apparently affiliated with the military intelligence complex. In the case of Ellsberg, it was the RAND Corporation where I came in and I worked on the Soviet Union. And in the case of Snowden, it was Booz Allen that received $6 billion from the CIA directly. And the head of Booz Allen at the time that Snowden was in there was McTiernan, who was deputy director, acting DCI of the CIA. And now the head of it was McDonnell, who is a naval intelligence officer. And so James Clapper was in Booz Allen, as were many other CIA operatives. And so he came out of the CIA, born, bred out of the CIA. What he said, and what he said specifically in this interview with Brian Williams, where Brian Williams was totally had by an operative, because if you listen to the words that Snowden said, he said very distinctly, I am a CIA spy. I predicted that a year ago. I predicted that on your show 6 months ago. What does that really mean? What that really means is that the CIA, and Snowden in particular, is working with his handlers, who in particular is the man named John Brennan. That's the one name that has not come out repeatedly in his conversation or his indictments. What Snowden said was, I'm against people like Keith Alexander, and I happen to know Keith Alexander. I like him, but that doesn't mean I justify that he had massive surveillance of the American public. But the two people that Snowden attacked were military officials, one who was particularly very powerful, and that was Keith Alexander.
And that's what you said last year when no one was saying it. You said it was part of a inner CIA Pentagon power struggle, which they now admit Benghazi's a big part of.
Exactly. This is the extension of Benghazi and the CIA and the military fighting out for control of the military-industrial complex, as it's evidenced by companies like SAIC, Booz Allen, MITRE, L3 Corporation. This has nothing to do with the American public, the safety of the American public, the national security, or with the sanctity of our nation. This has to do simply with the fact that the military-industrial complex, particularly the intelligence corporation, could care less about our safety as does the military. Because the military feels, and this is very painful for me to say, having been a Navy captain, that we do not have a nation anymore. We have an army, but we do not have a nation. We have in America, we have a country, but we do not have an army. And the CIA, military intelligence, National Geospatial Agency, National Security Security Agency feels the same way. They don't care about the protection and the national security of America. They haven't really done anything to prevent terrorism, to protect us. What they care about is one simple matter. They want to game out the issue of who gets the most money in the military-industrial complex, particularly in intelligence. That's why I could predict this matter. It's not something I read in tea leaves or I made up. Keith Alexander is one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful individual now in national security. He acquired that power because, contrary to what the CIA was 30 years ago, which was based on humans, which is what Snowden said very specifically, and Snowden was very proud of the fact that he was part of an intelligence-gathering capacity where you don't have to go to college anymore. And it's true. You just have to be very proficient on the Internet. So people like Snowden were hired by the CIA, went through the National Security Agency, at the same time worked at the Defense Intelligence Agency, because all the other groups, including the CIA, are not as proficient as the National Security
Agency. Sure. And you've worked in the State Department, you know, but mainly from the Army angle, helping found Delta Force, and that's on record.
Correct. I helped found Delta Force with Larry Eagleberry. I'm not going to tell full credit. The reason we didn't have a Delta Force is because we had hostage negotiation 30 years ago. I didn't have the counterpart to what the British had, the SAS, and we needed a key force. And that's why we nurtured, Larry Eagleberger and I nurtured Special Forces and Delta Force so that we could have a precision instrument to go in and strike out people.
Now, we're about to go to break. Just, I want to come back and get into the bigger picture here and where this is all going. But what, for layman, what is the point then in the warfare inside the establishment? What is the point of Snowden then? What's the objective?
The Snowden point is very simply more money for more intelligence that has nothing to do with the protection of the Republic. The Republic and America is irrelevant to the aggrandizement of private institutions that are affiliated with our intelligence community. So the CIA grows bigger, more inefficient. NSA grows bigger, more inefficient. The Defense Intelligence Agency grows bigger and inefficient. And America is paying a very heavy price while we lose our capacity to really protect ourselves and to garner any sense of economic strength. We are losing our capacity to be a viable republic because our military and our intelligence system is sucking out the very marrow of our existence, which is money, servitude, loyalty, transparency,
sure,
and honesty.
All right, well, stay there. We got to go to break. Dr. Steve Pachinik's our guest. StevePachinik.com is his excellent website. Find out the latest books that are there. And more, but we're going to go to break here. I remember seeing people like military professors like Thomas Barnett a decade ago on C-SPAN lecturing at the Naval War College in places, telling the generals and the admirals, we don't represent America, we represent Wall Street. And when they say that, they mean a select inside group in Wall Street that are monopoly capitalists who are exempt from taxes, who lobby to raise our taxes to get corporate welfare. I want to get Steve Pachinik's take on that statement, if he thinks it's accurate. After the break, I'm Alex Jones. Follow us on Twitter at RealAlexJones and InfoWars.com. Stay with us for the final segment. Money.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
It's the time of the season.
You know, I just gave a speech in Dallas. It was a keynote speaker introducing T-Bone Pickens on the fact that only a moral society can be successful. And I know that's an understatement. People understand that. But I'm stating the obvious, but we've lost touch of that. There are a lot of smart people and resources in third world countries, but they just let bureaucracies take over in special interest. And I want to get into what you're saying in a private email to me, and I want to get your full take on this, Dr. Pachinik. Elliot Roger and the Santa Monica shooting last week that's been collectively blamed on white males and gun owners, even though half the people he purportedly killed, he used a knife on. I want to get your take as a military.
I'll go over it. Remember, I told you Sandy Hook was a false flag, and that came out to be true. This one's a false flag, too.
Well, I want to get into that in a moment, but finishing up. With the whole point of Snowden and where this is going. I mean, he seemed extremely confident, I would almost say arrogant, in that interview with Brian Williams, like they're trying to rehab him to take him back to the country like Lee Harvey Oswald, who we know was a CIA operative and never joined the Russians.
Yeah, you You have to understand, Snowden qua Snowden doesn't mean anything. Snowden's part of the game that the CIA and the intelligence community is playing off of the backdrop of America, Russia, and China. You have to understand, Snowden just represents an institution which really has to take down a much more powerful institution like the National Security Agency, and really wants to garner and create a narrative which is a false narrative. What they want to do, Snowden and his handlers.
So it's just like the FBI and CIA always want to make the other the bad guy.
Exactly.
You're saying it's CIA wanting to get all the blame off it onto the NSA.
Well, not only that, they want to say there's good guys and bad guys. The truth of the matter is this is not about bad guys and good guys. This is about people who want to play games with the American public and taxpayers. And all of them want to play games with the taxpayers, because all of our military generals go back into SAC or Booz Allen. They get $6 billion from the CIA. James Clapper, you got, the same thing. You have John Brennan, who's never been brought up on charges of illegal activities on 9/11, Benghazi. He was accused in Benghazi, and I said it repeatedly. He's been accused of drone attacks, yet the FBI has never investigated him. Secret Service has never investigated him. ATF has never investigated, but it's the one man that Snowden doesn't want to mention. And by that very absence in intelligence and counterintelligence, I can tell you that he's his handler, and that the CIA is very much embedded in this kind of gaming that goes on. And it's Eisenhower who said they have created a legacy of ashes. And it was Jimmy Carter, whom I served, who got rid of 4,000 operatives. It's time now for America to say, it's enough with the CIA, enough with our intelligence community. We're going to cut off funding in general, and then we're going to bring in people who can really understand what is required.
Well, they've tripled the size of the CIA. They're operating domestically, and they've got their minions just running around everywhere. They've had Homeland Security try to recruit every doctor my dad knows to spy on their patients and people. And when they get deeper enough into it, because he managed hundreds of doctors, he just retired,
yes.
He dug into it and found out it's connected to the CIA. What is the CIA doing trying to recruit every doctor and dentist?
It's a self-aggrandizement. So what happened is over 30 years in working in the State Department and overseeing the CIA in many opportunities, they have really been dysfunctional. And in the Soviet Union, in Thailand, I had to get rid of the station chief. In Paris, I had to get rid of the station chief. In Panama, I had to get rid of the station chief. In Panama, I had to get rid of some of their operatives. And basically what's happening, it's an organization that's so filled, and I not have anything against this religion, basically Irish Catholic individuals. You have Brennan, McTiernan, you have Donilon, you have Doyle, you have Keith Alexander, all of whom follow the catechism of hierarchy. And with this type of ritualization that's instilled, and I have nothing against Catholics, my family's partly Catholic, if you have embedded in the CIA a hierarchy which has this false notion that they have to follow orders irrespective of the legality of the orders. John Brennan has to be called forth in front of a committee, just as Colby was in front of a committee of independent prosecutors, and testify about Benghazi, testify about 9/11, testify about the drone attacks, testify about Snowden, testify about who he knew, because the one name that does not come out is the very name that's involved in all of this, including McTiernan, who was acting head of the CIA. What's happening is the aggrandizement and self-aggrandizement of intelligence communities at the expense of the republic, that is, the expense of the American taxpayer, is out of control, and it's destroying our nation. We do not have more security because it's bigger. We have less security because it's ineffective. And the CIA wants to have the capacity that the NSA had in electronic surveillance, which didn't prove to be better. It just proved to be bigger and more expensive and more deadly to our freedom.
Well, it sounds like a recipe for disaster to have 800,000 private contractors and more than 50 companies with access to all the super secret spy hubs. I mean, that just sounds like a way to be infiltrated.
Correct.
By not just foreign governments, but every other corporation.
That's correct.
It sounds like a takedown plan of the country.
Well, it's not purposeful. We're not that clever. In other words, whenever you think that anybody's planning to take it down, whether it's the Council on Foreign Relations, nobody's that clever. What it is greed, self-aggrandizement, and stupidity.
And by the way,
arrogance.
You've been pretty big in the CFR for a long time, but I know got out of it. I mean,
it was a waste of my money and time. Because what happened is you have every flotsam and jetsam. It was really like a nursing home for those who weren't able to do anything, and a nursing home for a lot of neocon Jews who did terrible things in 9/11, Richard Haass, Elliot Abrams. You had a whole bunch of them. And Feith, who was still accountable, but they're sitting in the Council on Foreign Relations espousing. They have protection. But I wasn't interested in that. What I'm interested in doing, very simply...
Steve, how would you describe yourself? Because you're Jewish and Catholic, right?
Yeah, I'm Jewish, but my aunt is Catholic. I grew up in Cuba because the American liberal democracy didn't allow us in, thanks to Roosevelt. My whole family was exterminated by the Germans. I grew up at the age of six. I came to the United States, grew up on 108th Street in Amsterdam. One of us went to Booker T. Washington, the black school. It wasn't Obama. It was
someday
me.
I want to get you on just about all your spy stories that you can talk about and how you helped.
The point is, I'm just an American citizen, and I'm willing to save it, work again for this country, put my line on my life on the line again, say, look.
Now, I understand. Let me get you on soon to do a whole discussion about this. We've only got about 3 minutes left.
No
briefly,
problem.
Why? What do you think really happened with the bizarre Santa Monica mass shooting?
Well, Santa Monica follows the entire protocol of Sandy Hook. It's false flag. It's a liberal community. It's tied into Susan Collins' Hunger Game. You have a director of Hunger Game. There's no such guy as Rogers. You can't have a mentally ill kid kill seven
people. Why the last three shootings have Hunger Games connections? What's the point of that?
Because of that. Susan Collins was writing that. She was co-opted by the entire system to play out the scenario of anti-gun control, when in fact she was making money on the very notion of Hobbesian killing and people being atavistic. And she is very, very dangerous in this community of pro, you know, anti-gun, and it's not an accident. It's related to Susan Collins, who lives in Newtown.
I was about to say, a lot of those movies are actually they act like they're pro, you know, revolt against tyranny, but they're kind of Marxist.
They're Marxist. They're basically stupid. But what I'm saying is, this: a mental health kid cannot kill seven people, wound 13, and stab three. It's impossible. I ran a maximum security ward at St. Elizabeth Hospital, where I had the criminally insane, and they can't write 140 pages and write a video about them. So this is, again, a redux of Newtown. It's a tire false flag. And a Mr. Martinez who talks about craven politicians, it's absurd. I've never used that word, craven. If you look it up cowardly, nobody talks about that in grief. So this is, again, a false flag. And you have to go back to Obama. You have to go back to the FBI. You have to go back to Eric Holder.
Well, the FBI, even the New York Times admits, out of 100 bombing plots, 99 were staged by the FBI. That article came out a few years ago.
Well, they have to be accountable again. You have a new director, and I want to know, where is the ATF, Agency for Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms? Where's the FBI? Where's Eric Holder? Where's the subpoenas coming in for false flags? It can't continue, and the president has to be held accountable.
Wow, I want to get you back on soon. Tell us about the new book, posthumously, that you and Clancy worked up. And then you.
Well, I have two excellent writers, George Galderosi, D. Couch. They're both special. They were in the Navy intelligence. They work in Coronado Beach. And what we did was to create a scenario several years ago with Clancy, he and I, about Syria and the importance of the fact that Muslims were killing Christians both in Syria and the Middle East, and how Syria, Iran, and Saudi Arabia were all in a cahoots or in playing off one another and creating a civil war in Syria, where the Iranians were fighting Saudi Arabia and where the American government got involved accidentally.
And it all ended up basically happening. It's out of the ashes, Dr. Steve Pachenik.
Out of the ashes. Tom Clancy's Op Center with George Galderosi and Dick Couch.
Same all right. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a good rest of your weekend. Okay, thank you so much. There goes Dr. Steve Pachenik. That's it for me, your host, Alex Jones. I'll be back tomorrow live with the weekday transmission, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Great job to the crew, all of our affiliate sponsors, our listeners, and the good Lord above. Until then, be safe and promote liberty.